Thank you for being here in this last session of Friday Ignite Atlanta. Thank you for being so passionate to be here and learn about Windows 10 and Azure AD. This week, I have been very fortunate of hearing a lot of you coming to the booth and asking questions about Windows 10 and Azure AD and all the things that we are doing in EMS, in the Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite. And then, we today are going to focus on what is it that Azure AD and EMS bring to you when you think about devices. And in particular, we're going to think about and learn about what Windows 10 brings to the table. So my name is Jairo Cadena. I am a program manager in the Identity Division. I own scenarios that are related to devices, device-based conditional access, Azure AD in Windows 10, Azure AD in iOS and Android, things like this, and how we can enable productivity to users while keeping the resources in the backend secure, manageable, you know, with good governance and all these things that you are required to do. So let me start with this slide that probably you have seen, probably in every identity session that you have been in Ignite. So these three statistics, and I'm not going to go into detail because probably you have seen or heard all the details about this, but these are three statistics that tell the reality where we are right now. 63% of confirmed data breaches involve weak passwords, you know? And when we think about what EMS can bring to the table, we can talk about MFA. Even in Windows 10, we have this built-in functionality that gets rid of passwords, which is Windows Hello for Business, you know, what we called previously Microsoft Passport for Work. 80% of employees admit they use some kind of software or applications that are not approved by IT. And then the third one shows how little the investments in IT will come in the next year. So you as IT admins are in this world in which you need to enable productivity. You have a world where you have a bunch of cloud applications, on-premises applications. You have employees that use some approved applications, some non-approved, what we call shadow IT. They bring their own devices, iOS, Android, you know, their own Windows. They want to be productive from their phones and everywhere, but you need to have control on this world. Now the question is how can you do that? And in this particular session, how can you benefit from Windows 10 as one of probably the best platform that you can use for work? So when we think about EMS and where we are in particular to this session, you know, the value of EMS can be summarized probably in these four buckets. One is that you'll have one identity that will enable access to thousands of applications, both on premises and in the cloud. Then you will be enabling productivity from everywhere, you know, from different devices. And this is probably where we fit better in this spectrum. You will be able to manage identities, manage devices, manage access, have good governance from everywhere, you know, through the cloud, and then you will have peace of mind that those users that are accessing those resources are doing so in a secure way. And you will be able to even prevent issues from happening, at the right moment. So Windows 10 brings this concept of work accounts. You know, in the past, in Windows 7, Windows 8.1, or especially Windows 8.1, you could use your Hotmail account, your Live account. You know, it's a cloud account, it's a consumer account to sign into the device. And you got great experiences with that. You know, your OneDrive was automatically configured with that account. Your email application would configure Hotmail for you directly and things like this. Now, when we think about Windows 10, and the fact that now we have work accounts, you know, naturally working in the device itself, we can summarize this in various benefits. And one of them, one of the probably fundamental one that, you know, that customers, consider very beneficial is enabling single sign-on. So, you know, how many of you have Active Directory on premises? Right? Okay, so almost everyone here. So, you know, some 20 years ago, we started thinking about how to, you know, start bringing productivity in the enterprise, and that's when, you know, we started thinking about Windows 2000, and then that's when Active Directory was born, right? And with it, and even before that, domain join was a very specific piece of functionality that brought a lot of value. And the fact that you could have a computer joined to an Active Directory domain, a user working from that computer would be able to be, you know, to enjoy these single sign-on capabilities. So now you're signing to your device, you can go to a file server or to a SQL server, web server, you can print documents without entering credentials again. But of course, that was great until, you know, this reality that we have just discussed, where different devices came into play and then people started to become more mobile more than ever. Domain join and Active Directory on premises was just now becoming limited, right? So the fact that now in Windows 10 we have those work accounts, we are bringing that promise of true single sign-on back again. You know, not only across on-premises applications, but also cloud applications, on-prem apps that are published through the Azure AD application proxy, for example. How many of you have attended sessions around the proxy? Just very few. For the rest of you, you should look it up afterwards, but you can see how you can even enable productivity by projecting your on-prem web applications to the internet through the web app, through the Azure AD application proxy. But then single sign-on, which is one of the biggest values that were provided by Active Directory and domain join, we're bringing them with Azure AD as well. Both domain join devices and the new Azure AD join devices, and then also personal devices that are configured for work. But then the foundation of that single sign-on, when we think about single sign-on, we say, okay, that's great. Now I can just sign into my device, I can go to my SharePoint online, to my, you know, my expense application, I can go to my file server, I can print documents, and I don't need to enter a password again, right? So that's the promise of it. But behind that, behind that convenience, benefit, there has to be some security implications of that, right? You don't want to just enable single sign-on and then, you know, leave your resources unprotected. Imagine that you sign into your device and now you could go to an HBI application or to, you know, a high business impact application or to SharePoint with the same credentials, or maybe you left unattended, you know, your computer. There's a security implication of enabling single sign-on. And that is what we are providing through being able to protect resources based on the identity of the device. So the very fact that made domain join devices allowed to access enterprise resources without entering credentials again and again was that actually that device, that computer, was known to Active Directory. The fact that that computer was part of that domain that was managed by the organization via group policy or even, you know, SCCM or other tools, make those devices in a certain way, now trusted to the organization. So the fact that now we have an identity of that device with Azure AD that enables single sign-on also will allow you to take that identity and make authorization decisions, policy, based on that. And here's where we have things like device-based conditional access policies. So now you can say, I want to restrict access to my email, corporate email through Exchange Online, only to domain joined devices, or only to devices that are marked as compliant by the management system or Intune, for example. So this is to say that single sign-on and the device identity that allows you to protect access to your resources go hand to hand. In addition, what we have been doing in Windows 10 is enabling the ability for you to sign into distinct devices and yet keep your existing settings, app data, you know, your themes, your colors, your background, your browser favorites, your passwords, your Wi-Fi passwords, and things like this. When you have your domain joined device, for example, your desktop computer, and then you go home or you just go on the road and signing to your tablet using your work account, you will see all these settings roaming across devices. So this is something that you could do in Windows 8.1 with your Hotmail account. So if you had multiple devices and you sign in with your Hotmail account, you could have all those settings roam. Now, the ability for you to get those was not possible in your domain joined device, for example. Now we're enabling that in Windows 10. And of course, one of the concerns that organizations have had when thinking about personal data and enterprise data is that I don't want, as an admin, to know that my corporate data is going to end up in some consumer cloud, some consumer location where I do not have any control of that. So what we have done with the enterprise roaming of settings capability is that we have a specific cloud, a compliant cloud, regional cloud that is totally separated from the consumer cloud, where all these settings are coming across devices. Now, let's say the third category of benefits that Windows 10 offers with work accounts is, of course, the security, and or let's say from the user perspective, is the convenience of Windows Hello for Business. So who knows what is Windows Hello for Business here? Okay, so just very few. So Windows Hello is the ability in Windows 10 for you to use a gesture. It could be as simple as a pin, let's say 4-digit pin, or it could be something like a bio gesture, like your face recognition or your fingerprint, to signing to Windows. And that's, you can do that with your Hotmail account, Live account, Xbox account, but then now you can do it also with your work account. And then what that brings to the table is, of course, the convenience of you just stepping into your device, swiping your finger or just looking at the camera and signing automatically to your device with the single sign-on capability that we have just described at the beginning. That will give you a great convenience of accessing corporate resources with your bio gesture. You don't need to remember passwords. You don't need to do anything like writing your passwords that you forget. You don't need to change your passwords every certain time. So of course that's a lot of convenience for the user. But then that's the way that we have implemented that in the backend is actually beneficial for the organization as well, because the way it works is that there is basically no passwords, no secrets that go across the network. They are just, private public keys, TPM protected in the device, hardware protected. And then we have integrated that, signatures and encryption of those keys along with the authentication operations in Azure AD, which brings to the organization the benefit of not worrying about credential theft. And, we have seen a lot of cases, even big names in the industry. I mean, just very recently with Yahoo, but we have seen credit cards stolen because a person who was doing some work with the air conditioning system had a very weak password, and that password was stolen. And then somebody took that password, put some malware in some of the computers, and then it could get to the credit cards of the users. So that's something that with Windows Hello for Business would not have occurred, because there are simply no secrets that can be stolen. And then last but not least, you could, given that now you have integration with your work account in Windows 10, the experiences by default that you get in Windows will be driven by this identity. So for example, now that you are signing to your device with your work account, your OneDrive, in the future we're going to get Cortana also working with this. But then one of the benefits is having the ability to get corporate applications using your work account. So now you could go to the Windows Store for Business and then see what are the applications that your organization has made available for you, which is now a benefit for the organization. But now you can be productive by just finding out what are those key applications that are approved by IT and that will make your life easier. But then on the other hand, for the organization, you will be able to have a curated set of applications that you want to make available to your users. So let me jump into a demo here. And let's try to visualize this a little bit better. So I am going to show you. Let me see how this comes. So this is basically a brand new device. It's a Windows 10 device. And if I go to settings, so one of the options is go to accounts. And here's where I will be able to see everything that is related to my account in Windows. I see that this is a local account. I'm the admin, and I have just gotten this device. I have configured it as a local account. But then I'm going to, for you to know that this is not Azure AD Join or anything like that. Now I want to go and try to, let's say, access my SharePoint, my organizational SharePoint. And for that, I'm going to use actually a real Microsoft IT SharePoint site. So the first thing that I see here is, okay, I need to sign in with my Microsoft corporate account. That makes sense. I have logged in with my local account, so there's nothing here. I say, okay, I will sign in, and I enter my credentials. And one of the things that this experience is taking me to is basically, going to SharePoint. SharePoint is saying, I need a token from you. I'm redirected to Azure AD. Azure AD redirects me to my corporate ADFS. ADFS shows the signing page. I enter the credentials in the ADFS signing page. And then now I am being challenged with MFA. All right, so then I say, okay, yeah, I have MFA, I have my phone, it's easy, I just do that. But then look at what I see here. So it tells me you can't get there from here. That's pretty clear. It tells me that this application contains sensitive information and can only be accessed from Microsoft domain joined devices or devices or client applications that meet Microsoft management compliance policy. So it tells me, okay, you can go here. Okay, so let's go there and see what happens. It takes me to the accounts access workers cool page, and it tells me that I can do connect. Actually, that was what was telling me the instructions on that. And then what I see is now a signing page. Now it is asking me for my work, for my account. my work account. Now, there are three ways that you can configure a device for work. One is domain join, you know, traditional domain join. Now with Azure AD, you can register those devices automatically to the cloud and get all these benefits that we talked about. Then you can join this device to Azure AD directly, which is kind of like the domain join case, but instead of having a trust with on-prem AD, the device will have just a trust with Azure AD. Or I can configure this device as a personal device. I will keep using my Hotmail account to sign into the device, but I will add a work account, and that will give me single sign-on, will give me the ability to do Windows Hello and things like this. In this particular case, let's go over Azure AD in particular. So let's go to do Azure AD join. Now, notice that I am being asked for the work account, but see here, it would say alternate actions, join this device to Azure AD. So the default experience that we have here is for my, you know, I'm considering this a personal device. I'm going to add my account, and I will keep doing, will have my personal data and my organizational data in this device. But I'm going to go to join Azure AD. So this is the way, the new way in which I can configure a work device to be, you know, from everywhere. It's a self-service experience, and then I will be able to have access to my resources. So let's say, so I'm going to type my credentials again. And then when I do this, it is taking me to my signing page of the organization. So I have just typed my UPN in the Azure AD signing page. That was the Azure AD signing page. It will find out that Microsoft.com is a federated environment. And then it has an authoritative IDP, which is the IDFS that is registered with Azure AD. And it redirects to my signing page. So this is the ADFS Microsoft signing page. And then I will enter my creds in this page. I'm not entering the credentials in Azure AD. I'm entering the credentials in the ADFS of the organization. Again, it asks me for MFA because there's a policy that, in this particular case, Microsoft has set that says that it requires MFA to register a device with Azure AD. In this case, we're doing Azure AD join, and Azure AD join, by default, the first thing that it does is registering that device with Azure AD. So I'm going to respond to the challenge once again. So what's happening at this point is that I have now a token from ADFS to Azure AD. I'm authenticating to a service that is called Azure DRS, Device Registration Service. A device is created in the cloud. A certificate is brought down to the device. And then once the device is registered, then now the device is going to enroll into Intune, into the management system. So here's just telling me, this is your organization. Make sure that you are joining to the right place. My device gets registered. The device is going to now to the management system, which is also configured in the backend in Azure AD, such that any at work account or Azure AD join will automatically enroll into the management system. So now it's telling me that I am all set. Now it tells me, okay, you can do switch account. And now it tells me that it's connected to Microsoft's Azure AD. And I can just go ahead and do sign out here, right here. So remember, at this point, the way I got to the device was by just signing in with my local account. And now what I'm going to do is use my work account, my Azure AD account, to sign into the device. So while this signs in, let me jump up very quick to the deck and let me show you what has just happened. So So on one hand, we have, you know, Azure AD, and you know, it has a bunch of users, and one of them is the user who joined the device to the tenant. So that user brings the device, and when he did Azure AD join, a trust between the device and Azure AD was created, and that it was basically in the form of a certificate that was brought down, issued by Azure AD in particular, and also by a key that is generated in the device that is going to be used to protect tokens that are issued to that device in the future. So basically, we are binding any authentication that happens from that device using a key that is generated at the registration time. That key, that is called the SDK, like you see in the diagram, is we call it the storage key, and it's a key that is derived from the storage root key of the TPM of the device. And it's going to be used to upload to the TPM special session keys that we have in the process of authentication to keep single sign-on going. So once that process has happened, then now we are going to sign into the device, right? So let's go very quick here, and let's finish the demo. So we are right there. So we have a device with a certificate with a key, with a device object in Azure AD, and now we have signing to the device. And if you noticed, the background has just changed to the background that I had in my domain join device at Microsoft. So that was thanks to the enterprise roaming of settings service that we talked about. It keeps my settings across devices. So now that I'm going to show you very quick, going back to the SharePoint that I was accessing before, point.com. And then you'll see this. And I wanted to do it very quickly on purpose so you can see what's happening. So now the access denied page that I see here is not the same one that I saw in the past. So when I was logged in as my local account, I simply said you cannot get there to the Microsoft SharePoint from here, from this device. You need to take an action to do something. In this particular case, it is telling me you can't get to this resource yet. And the reason is because the management system, in this particular case Intune, is checking policy on the device before it can go ahead and write behind the scenes to Azure AD directly the compliance state of this device. So what happens is that now I'm going to SharePoint. SharePoint is sending me to Azure AD. But now Azure AD is not asking me for credentials. If you see, I didn't enter credentials besides when I signed into my device. But then it recognized my device, but yet it is telling me that that device has not been reported as compliant. Therefore, I cannot give you access yet. So that's part of the, so on one hand, we have the single sign-on benefit that we talked about. On the other hand, we have the device-based conditional access policy to keep my resources secure. So coming back to where we were here in the architecture, so let's see what happened when I signed into the device. So let's look at what's inside the device, and there are three specific components that are involved in the signing of a user in Windows. One is the credential provider, which is basically, you know, the credential UI, the WinLogon UI is where I enter my credentials. And the CredProv is the one who is getting those credentials, and then it is sending them to a component that is very similar to what, you know, with like the Kerberos authentication provider was or is for domain join devices. This is called the Cloud AP, the Cloud Authentication Provider. And then what this component does is taking those credentials and sending them along with the certificate that has been provisioned before, the key that was issued for protecting the tokens, and then Azure AD with that information will authenticate the user, will authenticate the device, and will return a single sign-on token that we call a PRT, a primary refresh token. So this is basically the equivalent of a Kerberos TGT in the Kerberos world, in the Windows Integrated Authentication world, but for the cloud. So now that PRT is going to be used, it's going to be cached, but it's going to be used later on for single sign-on. Now, let's say that now we have the applications that now I want to access, like the case of the SharePoint site, for example. And then what happens here is that there are these applications can be accessed from multiple ways as well. So you could have rich applications, you could have browsers, and in all of those cases, what happens is that the user is going to try to access that application. The client application is going to ask the web account manager, which is a new component in Windows 10, who has access to the PRT, and it will see, okay, do I have a token for this specific application? If I don't, do I have a PRT? If I do, then I will send that PRT to Azure AD in exchange of a token for, let's say in this particular case, SharePoint Online. So the token is returned to the application. The application sends that token to the service application, and the user has access. Now, what we have just seen is how this works behind the scenes against Azure AD, right? But then the promise that we said was we will have true single sign-on, you signing to the device, and then regardless of the application that you access, you won't be prompted for credentials. So actually, there's a totally equivalent half for the on-premises applications, for Windows integrated authentication applications, and actually for ADFS applications as well, in which the same thing happens. So the magic here is that now when you type your credentials in Windows, you know, you are running, those credentials are protected in a protected process, you know, in LSCSS, that, you know, you're secure, nothing can get into that process. And then those credentials are not only sent to Azure AD, but are also sent to AD on-prem. And AD on-prem, of course, will return a Kerberos TGT. The TGT is what is going to be used for single sign-on. So in other words, when you're signing to the device, you have a TGT to have access, seamless access to on-prem resources. You have a PRT to Azure AD to get seamless access to Azure AD applications, and actually, if you have Windows Server 2016 ADFS, you also will have a PRT for ADFS-based applications. So now all the spectrum of applications will be covered, and by you signing into Windows, you will have single sign-on to all these applications. Now, let's talk about, very quick, about the different types of devices, because if you think about the Kerberos world has existed, you know, for forever, you know, for 16 years already or more. The other half is the new magic for the cloud and ADFS and the modern authentication. But then the question is, if domain joined devices and Azure AD joined devices can do the same thing in respect to single sign-on and authentication, then what's my way of thinking on how to choose one over the other? So again, domain joined devices, you know, have existed for 16 years now and even more before even Active Directory 2000. They have the trust with AD on-prem. Azure AD joined has the trust with Azure AD. And now domain joined devices can get auto-registered with Azure AD, as I briefly mentioned before, and then the trust with Azure AD will also be created. So now a domain joint device will have both trusts to Azure AD and AD on-prem. Azure AD joint device will have just a trust with Azure AD. But yet we saw that the user credentials, given that the password is the same one on-prem or in the cloud, we're talking about one single account that is, you know, bring up through AAD connect to the cloud, regardless if you are federated or not, that user is the same user. If you are federated, the password will be on-prem through the ADFS. If you are password hash synced, then the password will be in both on-prem and in the cloud. But the difference between a domain joint device and an Azure AD joint device is that the domain joint device has trust with on-prem AD, which the Azure AD joint doesn't have, you know, from the identity perspective. Now, you would ask, why do I care about that? You know, like if I have a user that can use an Azure AD joint device, do I really care about trust between Azure AD or AD? And the real answer to the identity piece of that is that you may not notice the difference for the majority of the cases, of the use cases that we have outside. There are a few cases in which, let's say, a Windows integrated authentication resource, like a file server or something, needs to have device authentication. You know, this is like Kerberos armoring or CBAC. When the Kerberos authentication requires that device identity, of course you cannot have that with an Azure AD joint device. You need to have a domain joint device, right? But the truth is that those use cases are very minimal. You know, if we think of all the universe of use cases that, you know, all of you and all customers in the world have, those are very, very few compared to the just regular information worker that is trying to access a resource on-prem in the cloud, you know, printing some documents when they are on-prem, accessing SharePoint when they are, or Exchange or email when they are on the go. So the identity piece of that is really not the decisive factor here, because from the perspective of single sign-on, we have just seen that both of the devices will bring the same benefits. Now, the difference relies mostly on how you manage those devices. So domain joint devices are, of course, managed via group policy, you know, but you might have invested in tools like SCCM or any third-party tool, whereas Azure AD joint devices are managed by a mobile device management system like Intune, right? And then the conversation goes into what are really the needs that you have for managing those devices. Intune has a specific vision on in terms of what is the spectrum of settings that you can control on a device. Today, SCCM or group policy gives you the entire flexibility that you might want to have to manage a domain joint device. You know, we have thousands and thousands of group policies that you can control. You can control everything in the device at a very fine-grained approach, whereas via Intune or an MDM is a little bit different how you manage those devices. So that's probably the biggest consideration that you might want to have. The other thing that I tell, and actually based on what I have learned from you in the last year since we were in this same setting announcing Azure AD Join, was that if you already have domain joint device, which probably you already have, if you have AD on-prem, you have domain joint. You know, that's kind of hand to hand. Keep having domain joint devices. No, I mean you will probably have invested in processes to manage these devices, to deploy these devices with imaging or whatever you have invested already. You can very easily take those domain joint devices to Azure AD and get all these benefits that we have talked about. So there is not really a requirement for you to do some big changes in your organization to get the benefits of this. But now, if you see those use cases or those users who are mainly in the cloud, you know, or are mainly mobile, And maybe occasionally they come to on-prem, they print documents, or they, you know, or even they have some file servers, SQL servers, whatever, that you see that do not require, you know, a special, you know, access to these applications that require, you know, specific Kerberos authentication. You can start moving those users to Azure AD Join devices. You know, actually, I was talking with somebody in the booth that they were thinking about in the next PC refresh, you know, they could start thinking of, okay, why don't I just issue a, you know, an Azure AD Join device? As long as my management needs for that device are met, then of course you will get additional benefits, you know, the self-service provisioning of these devices, you know, the ability for having a very lightweight experience. Now, in Microsoft, even within Microsoft, we have a bunch of cases that, you know, PMs and you know, information workers are using Azure AD Join devices, and it is more than enough for them. I mean, they're really not noticing any difference from what they were doing in domain join devices. And, you know, MSIT is okay with managing those devices via Intune. So it's up to you. But then again, domain join devices can get all these benefits. You can very quickly get, like if you have domain join devices and you have EMS Azure AD Premium and you don't have those devices in the cloud, you are missing a great opportunity to bring value to your users right now. So you can do that right now. And then as you think of new use cases, you can think of Azure AD Join. All right, so now let me move to the security part of that, and let me jump into a demo where I will show you how the admin controlled the conditional access policies from devices. So I'm here in my directory, and if I go to applications, I'm going to show you two things. One is, if you see, if you have EMS, you have an Intune subscription, you can go to the Microsoft Intune application, and if you do configure, you will be able to control who will be required to auto-enroll into Intune when you do Azure AD Join, for example. So in this particular case, my policy says that all users that do Azure AD Join will need to have their devices automatically enrolled for Azure AD Join to succeed. I mean, you can do this for controlling rollout or do a proof of concept or things like that. But in general terms, this is something that you should have enabled by default. Now, in terms of what I can do to protect my other applications, if I go to, let's say, for example, Exchange Online, and I want to protect my email, I will find that I see, I will find a configure tab here, and here is where I will be able to find the conditional access policies that will be applied when users and devices are trying to access this application. In this particular case, is Exchange Online. So the first half of it is basically the MFA and location policies. So I can say that if you are not at work, I will challenge you for MFA, for example. But let's go to the device-based policies, which is the subject of this session. And then when I go and say and enable that, I can apply those policies to specific users, to specific groups. So basically any user coming from any device will be subject to this policy if they are in this specific group. You could have exceptions to this group, like if you need to react to something in particular, you can have exemptions. But then here's where the policy is. So I can choose between all devices must be compliant, meaning that any user from a device that is trying to access Exchange Online via a mail app or a browser, for example, must be compliant. Now, compliant means that for mobile devices that are managed by Intune, for example, Intune will be able to tell Azure AD if whether they are compliant or not. Now, Windows devices in particular have this option in which I can define what compliant means for Windows. So for Windows, of course, I can choose my management system to write compliance into that device object, but which is basically a condition that, or a functionality that is given by SCCM, the latest version of SCCM, I think it's since 1606, you have the ability for SCCM to check compliance in domain joined devices and write through the cloud the compliance bit on the device object in Azure AD. So you can say Windows devices are compliant when domain joined or when they are marked as compliant. So if you don't have SCCM 1606, then of course there's no management system that can write that compliance bit into Azure AD. But as we have just said, you have domain joined devices, you have invested in management of those domain joined devices, and you consider them trusted to the organization. So then you can say that I will treat a domain joined device as compliant to be able to access this application. Now you can say that if you do all devices must be compliant, then platforms that we do not support right now, like Mac, which is actually in the works, will be subject to this, so a Mac user will be denied access. You could actually, if you are in the process of rolling this out to your organization, you can choose a specific platforms. And then also you can say whether you want this applied to both browser and native applications. So going to Outlook Web Access in Edge or IE, or whether it's through the Mail app, for example. So anyway, so and then there's a provision for Exchange Active Sync in particular that you can say this applies also to legacy Mail apps that use Exchange Active Sync to connect to Exchange Online. All right, so let's move on. So now let's talk about deployment considerations. Now, before I move on, does anybody have any question? All right. Okay, so when we think about what is it that we need to do to bring those devices to Azure AD, we can think about what do we need to do for domain joined devices, what do we need to do for mobile devices. So for domain joined devices, there are some requirements that you need to set in your infrastructure to have them automatically registered in Azure AD. So basically, there's a service connection point that needs to be created. I'll talk about that in a minute. And then there are some rules in ADFS that also you need to create if you are federated. Azure AD Connect is the foundational piece of this. So Azure AD Connect will not only be used to synchronize your users up to the cloud, but also will be a very important piece in the registration of these devices to Azure AD. And for non-Windows 10 devices, basically Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and even Windows Server SKUs as well, there's a Windows installer package that we have released very recently that will allow you to register, for example, Windows Server computers. When we talk about mobile devices, the device registers by an end user initiated experience, like the case of the Azure AD join flow that we saw in the demo. Contrasting that to domain join devices, which are really auto registered. So once you have set up those conditions in your organization, any domain joined device that signs in, that is working, those will get auto-registered to Azure AD. And then as part of the mobile device registration experience, the device enrolls into the MDM, like we saw. And for as an alternative for personal devices, in which many users may not want to have MDM managing the device, the alternative is mobile application management. In Windows 10 in particular, we are working on enabling MAM and MAM conditional access in a future update of Windows. So as in terms of requirements, so there's a service connection point that is used for discovery. So what happens is that when the computer boots up or when the user signs into the device or unlocks the device, the computer is going to go and find a specific object that must be created in the configuration naming context of the forest to where the device is joined to. And it will find that object, and it will find the tenant information that is going to be used to register the device against Azure AD. So SCP, the service connection point is required. The Windows installer package that we have released for Windows 7 and Windows Server actually uses that SCP as well, in contrast to the old one that was using the UPN of the user to find the tenant. And then if you are federated, what happens is that after the computer authenticates, or rather, after the computer finds the SCP and finds where it needs to register, now it needs to authenticate to Azure AD. And the way it does so is by going to ADFS, getting a token to Azure DRS, and then go to Azure AD. So let me rephrase that. So the computer will need to get a token finally to Azure DRS to register itself, and it does so by going to ADFS, getting a token, an assertion, sending it up to Azure AD, and Azure AD sending that final token to Azure DRS for registration finally. Now, for the computer to be able to authenticate to ADFS even in the first place, there has to be some specific rules that you need to create. I have a pointer to a post that I have in my blog that you can go and see that in great detail. Now, we have a group policy that basically the device will check to make sure that it is good to go to trigger registration. Now, in the Windows 10 November update, this policy needs to be set to even trigger that registration in the first place. In the anniversary update, registration will happen by default. So if you have the SCP, you have the ADFS rules, regardless of the even if the policy is not set, the computer will auto-register to Azure AD by default. But of course, you can use that group policy to roll out the functionality of auto-registration. If you have 100,000 devices, you may want to start by just registering a few of them and then start growing up. And you can control that with that policy. And then we talked about Azure AD Connect. Azure AD Connect is necessary. One of the things that Azure AD Connect does is actually enabling auto-registration of domain join devices if you are not federated. So for organizations that synchronizes password hashes to the cloud, and of course the computer cannot authenticate to Azure AD through ADFS, there's no ADFS in this particular case, then what happens is that the computer will write a credential into its own computer account in on-prem AD, and then Azure AD Connect will detect that this is a Windows 10 device. It has that special credential, and it will basically move that credential up, will create a device object with that credential, and then in the next opportunity that the device has to register, it will go directly to Azure DRS with that credential. Given that credential is already in the cloud, is used to authenticate the device and complete registration. So Azure AD Connect is kind of the magical piece in that scenario. And of course, Azure AD Connect, regardless if you are federated or not, what it does is that it will correlate the computer account on-prem to the device object in the cloud. And that means that now the life cycle management of one is tied to the other. So for example, if you disabled your computer account on-prem, then you don't want to have the device object enabled in the cloud, because you want that to be just a single one. Azure AD Connect will be able to synchronize that for you automatically. So again, so that's the pointer to my blog post. There's a great detail on what happens behind the scenes. I won't go at this point into that. So let me jump now to another demo in which I will show you how you can check the state of a computer in terms of whether that device is registered or not with Azure AD and so on. So here I open a command line window, and we have this command, dsregcmd.exe, that probably you will find very useful, not just to know the status of your computer for troubleshooting purposes and things like that. If you do /status, you will see the following. So there's a section for device state, there is a section for user state, and there is a section for prerequisite for Windows Hello for Business. So on the device state section, you'll see the following. You'll see this value, Azure AD join, it says yes. Domain join, it says yes. So this is my Microsoft domain join device. And if you see, it is domain joined, but also registered with Azure AD. Interesting pieces, I have the device ID here. So that device ID is the one that I can use to, for example, look the device object up in Azure AD with the MSOL device commandlets. This is the thumbprint of the certificate that was provisioned into the device when I registered this device, or rather when it got registered automatically. It tells that the keys are TPM protected. This is my IDP, this is my tenant ID, my tenant name. There are some URLs for authentication. And then let's see what else we have here. So now, if we go to the user state, okay, so the question was, what is the enterprise joined value that is set to know here? So as part of one of the, everything that I have just described makes use of Azure AD, right? But there is a specific scenario in which you are on premises only, you don't have Azure AD, and there are some customers that have that requirement for many reasons, compliance, they want to have their passwords and all resources protected. We have enabled Windows Hello for Business, which is one of the benefits that came from registering that from against Azure AD, but without Azure AD, against ADFS. So for those on-prem only organizations that want to still use Windows Hello for Business, that requires a device registration, like a modern device registration, if you will, we have enabled the ability to register that device through ADFS, just ADFS, and that is what it's called enterprise join here. So if you had a device, it's basically a separate state. It doesn't involve Azure AD, but it's specific for Windows Hello for Business on an on-prem only organization. That's a good question, thank you. So now on the user state, it tells me maybe one of the important ones is this one, Azure AD PRT, yes. So this tells me that when I unlocked my device, I obtained a PRT, the primary refresh token, therefore I will have single sign-on. So if say for example a user is complaining that they don't have single sign-on, maybe one of the first things that we might want to check is this. Does that user have a PRT or not? You know, this is the TGT like token. Now, this PRT is obtained when you unlock Windows, as we described, but actually it doesn't happen every time. So the PRT has a basically a lifetime of, you know, a certain lifetime, but like if you keep using it, and keep using it for some time, it will need to be renewed every 90 days, right? So in other words, you don't need to have a full network connectivity to be able to keep using that token. If you are not using your device, it will have a lifetime of 2 weeks. So let's say that you went on vacation, and now that PRT expired after 2 weeks, and then you will need to have a full network logon at that point to get a new PRT. So anyway, so that was basically that. You will be able to see now prerequisites for Windows Hello for Business as well. It will tell you my device is eligible for that. So for example, one of the policies that you can set is that you do not want to provision a Windows Hello for Business credential on a device that doesn't have a TPM. Because Windows Hello for Business is a credential that is considered a strong credential. So it's basically it's as if you have been signed in with MFA. So anyway, so that was that. And then let me move very quick to here. There were a couple of slides that I wanted just to share with you. Access denied pages. So this is the page that we saw. You can't get there from here. And then one of the texts that the user will see is, please click here for more information. Today, that here goes to an article in Azure AD Docs that can guide users to self-remediate, if you will. But we are adding the functionality for you to override that, and that here can take the user to any portal that you have, any help desk guidance that you want to give to your users. And that is coming very soon. And let's see. This is the same page that we saw. And then let's go back. Let's move on. So this is basically what we talked about for registering those devices. You need to have the SCP for discovery. Azure AD Connect Express installation will create that SCP. If you have a custom installation of Azure AD Connect, or you just upgraded from a previous one, you need to run a commandlet. Make sure that it is created in all forests where computers are. And then again, the issuance transformation rules are needed for authentication. Both Express and custom installations of AAD Connect will create these rules. When we talk about write-back operations that Azure AD Connect offers, you may want to think about, remember, the device object is created in the cloud, but you may want to bring those devices down to on-prem if, for example, you want to have ADFS authenticate that device instead of Azure AD, and maybe you want to create some specific conditional access policy that the flexibility of ADFS will give you. And of course, that is enabled by the device write-back capability of Azure AD. And then one additional point, if you have on-premises applications that you want to publish to your users through the Azure AD application proxy, those applications are considered also cloud applications, meaning that those apps will be subject to conditional access policies if you want to do so as well. And for ADFS, so we talked a little bit about the integration with the Windows 10 authentication. You need to deploy Windows Server 2016 ADFS if you want to have Windows 10 devices, have single sign-on to Azure AD. I'm sorry, to ADFS applications. So just to close on this, we have a bunch of customers who have deployed EMS devices. So we're really thrilled of having you guys trying our features, deploying them. And if you want more information about this and other features in EMS, you have the list there. You can refer to that. And so we have 10 minutes. Now, questions. Can you guys use the microphones, please?
How can we build a remote desktop connection to an Azure domain joint device?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Remote desktop services. Remote desktop connection to Azure.
AD joint device.
Azure AD joint device.
Yeah, the question is about remote desktop services, remote desktop to an Azure AD joint device. So we have added that functionality in the anniversary update, yes.
Okay. And how can I...
So if your question is if you
how can... I log in with the UPN from the user or...
Yes, precisely. So you would need to, when you connect to the computer, then you can use you should use it with the UPN, or you could do Azure AD WAC your UPN, and that would work just fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Hi.
Yes, please.
So I think you mentioned about on-prem devices to continue having them domain joined for group policy, and then having other devices perhaps as your AD joined. Do you have any roadmap for having group policy type settings deployed on Azure AD joined devices?
Right. Okay. That's a great question, and that's something that we have heard from many customers. So Intune is actually, looking into that, and the idea would be to have some kind of equivalency to what group policy offers today for a specific SKUs in Windows 10. But that's something that we're looking into that very, very closely, and hopefully something that we can deliver soon.
This setting which we saw about conditional access, let's say to Microsoft Exchange in Azure portal, is it the same setting which is now in Intune console, or is it?
Right. So the question, yeah, that's a great question. It is the same one. So when you go to the Intune portal and set that conditional access policy, what happens behind the scenes is that the policy is written in Azure AD. And this is just another UI. Now we are, as you know, we have a new portal in it, with a new interface. What is going to happen is that in a few months, there's going to be just a single UI to control conditional access policies.
And which portal is now, is if we want to start now to play with this and using this, portal is now correct to go with?
Well, so. We are migrating, so all the demos that I have shown you is in the admin UX portal, the management portal, and because this functionality has not yet been migrated to the new one. If you go here to check out the new portal, the new Azure portal, you will be able to see that functionality coming in the next few months. But for today, you need to go to the...
Thank you.
Yeah, sure, you're welcome.
When we switch to the MDM channel for management, obviously it alters the number of things that we can get information on for our Windows 10 devices. Is there any, because all of these features are great, but I have customers who frequently say, well, we're used to the traditional agent-based model of Intune, not the MDM model for managing desktops. Is there some carrot outside of the features that we've described here, or some roadmap items that would allow us to say, look, this is the reason you don't need to go back and then put agents on all of these devices again?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, for one, the agent is heavier, and I think it would be interesting to understand what is the rationale of these customers trying to go back, as you say. But basically, if it's about the ability to control more policies, like the spectrum of management that you have in the device, it goes back to the previous question, which is does Intune have something that will allow group policy-like, flexibility to manage these devices? And that's where we are looking very strongly into that, to make sure that we serve that use case that many customers have asked us.
I think the ask is more around the reporting side, simply because you have very robust, hardware and software inventorying with the current agent. And in the MDM model, it's just a lighter set of things that you can report off of.
Right. So it comes to what is it, all the things that you can do with the current one. And hopefully we'll have a good answer for that.
Okay.
Soon, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, sure. You're welcome.
Regarding all the single sign-on capabilities that into the online portal, do you have to have ADFS configured, or can you just be using Azure AD Connect to facilitate that?
Yeah, no, good, great question. So actually, you don't need to have ADFS.
Okay.
Given that we have this new PRT model, and you get that PRT from Azure AD, mm-hmm. and then that's it. Once you have that token, you will have single sign-on.
Okay. What if you're registering from a device from outside of the domain? Azure AD Connect would overwrite the existing directory, like all the existing computer accounts, and would that overwrite your computer account that gets created when
well,
you?
Yeah. Now, for a domain joined device to auto-register to Azure AD, that device will need to have line of sight to a DC
mm-hmm.
because it would authenticate using Kerberos to ADFS,
right?
In the ADFS case, right? In the non-ADFS case, still the computer will need to be able to write that credential into the computer account. So in other words, to complete registration, the computer will need to be on-prem for domain joined devices registering.
Right.
Now afterwards, then now you can just go out and be productive outside.
Okay, but if it's just a field device and maybe a BYOD or something like that that's never been in the office, you can register that to Azure AD without any problem?
Oh yeah, precisely. You can do Azure AD join. You don't need to be on-prem, from everywhere, and you can get jump and be productive right away.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi. As a freelance, I work for different companies with different Azure Active Directories. Can my Windows 10 workstation join different Azure Active Directories?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Can my workstation join different Azure Active Directories at the same time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you cannot at this point, first of all, Azure AD join is treated as a work-owned device, which means that it has a relationship with just one single organization, especially in the management side. You don't want, as an organization, to have devices accessing your organization and devices that are your devices, work devices, to be managed by a different organization. Now, the personal device case, so we have domain join, Azure AD join, and personal cases in which you sign in with your Hotmail account, but you add a work account, let's say you add your Contoso account, and you have single sign-on, we are looking into allowing multiple of these in a feature update of Windows. So that's the case of the consultant scenario. You probably have contracts in different organizations. You want to be productive in each of them. And the question is how you can do that. Today, you can have just one single registration. We are looking into enabling that scenario, and especially not with MDM, but with MAM, with Mobile Application Management. So in that case, the device will still be registered with multiple organizations, but probably the way you get to access to these applications is through MAM, not through MDM. But it's something that is not supported right now that we're looking into. Thank you.
So we're using direct access all over the place. Is this going to interfere in any way with direct access?
The answer is no. I mean, direct access is just a way for you to physically, virtually connect to your corporate network. By the way, it could actually complement, if you will. I'm not talking about direct access in particular, but VPN in general, which is some things that actually it's in preview that we want to enable very quick in public and GA is the ability for you to control access to your VPN based on a conditional access policy. So, for example, you can say that only compliant devices can connect to my VPN, or only domain join devices can. Basically the same policy that we have looked into that. Of course, the vision of Azure AD join is that you don't need VPN anymore in the future. But of course, we understand that there are cases in which you still need to get access. Those are the cases that you could even complement this in a nice way, in a secure way.
Thank you.
Sure. Excellent. So if no more questions, we are just 28 seconds, so we are good on time. Thank you so much. I will be here. We can keep the conversation going. My Twitter account is there, and my blog is active, so feel free to ask and we can keep the conversation going. Thank you so much.